Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
Well, like many people have mentioned, my name is Greg Sherman, and let me just say I'm very honored to be here. I know there's many people who fill this position and come to speak to you week after week, and so I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And I just want to say thank you. Like people have mentioned, Brawlin was my youth student, and as a youth minister, I'm going on 8 years in youth ministry. So getting close to double digits, we're getting there. But you always worry when you send your students off. What's going to happen to them. I mean, you stay in contact with them and you try to check in as much as you can. But to hear how Boise has impacted Brawlin and to start to see names to faces from our conversations and just how encouraged and lit up he comes back from this place. So I'm just grateful for Boise Bible College and the impact it has on Brawlin and so many of you guys. So thank you so much for the work that you guys do here. I know there's faculty and other people here. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, a youth minister's heart, to the students that you are impacting. We are, from what I'm told, you guys are in the middle of a series of a bigger one, Simply Be Jesus, and then the sub-series, Live Like Jesus, which, you know, it's pretty easy, right? To live like the Son of God, who is fully man and fully God. Pretty easy task to, you know, check off the list, I think. I mean, if it's not easy for you guys, I mean, I don't know what to say for that. But there's a lot that comes with that, right? It's kind of a loaded question, kind of a loaded calling to live like Jesus. How do I live like the Son of God? And when I got the passage that I would be working through, it was like, whew, that's a doozy of one. So thank you for whoever brought this out and how the Spirit led in that. We are going to be in Matthew 25 using this because I'm getting older. I'm going to be 30 this year, and as I've gotten closer to the big 3-0, my vision is declining. I broke a bone for the first time at the beginning of this year, and it's just like it's all going downhill, it feels like, and hills are scary how fast it goes down. But we are going to be in Matthew 25, and I'm going to read through the passage, and then I'm going to bring some things that I have gotten from this passage. So if you would like to read with me, this is the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I'll let that sit for a moment. But I think the big thing we can get from that is just be sheep and not goats, right? We can call it good and head out the doors. Yeah, yeah. Make my job a little easier. But those are some heavy words from Jesus. This was a part of a series of parables. And if you don't know what a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus, being an excellent teacher, used a lot of examples that they would know and recognize and be a part of to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. Because his ultimate purpose, while it was to redeem us through his sacrifice and redeeming us, was also to bring heaven down so that we could experience it on an earthly level so that we could be able to be in relationship with God. And through this, he taught various stories of different meanings. And a lot of the time, they would have to, the people would have to be like, Jesus, hold on a second. That was really confusing. And rightly so, because heaven can get a little messy and a little crazy and a little, when you try to bridge it out. And this was especially meaningful parable because this was the last one before, immediately after this in Matthew 26, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are like, hey, let's get this guy. This is the time. Let's start making our plans and let's start trying to get rid of him because this is trouble. This is too much for us to handle. And which leads us in a timely manner close to Easter, right? Easter's right around the corner, which is awesome, an amazing celebration day. But let's not skip too far ahead. A big thing that we can pull out of this, because feeding the needy and those troubled and homeless and those kinds of things, it can be overwhelming. I pulled up a few stats. I'm going to pull up my phone real quick because it was pretty easy, actually, which is kind of scary, to pull up stats of food insecurity, homelessness for your guys' area, directly the Boise area. So as of 2019, there is 7,800 teens who would be considered homeless. 7,800. And what homeless means in this criteria for teens is they do not know where they're going to stay that night. They do not know, they do not have a permanence, a place where they are going to stay. And the crazy thing is it has grown so much since 2019, this is what I was reading, that they can't accurately track it. Their best estimate is that 7,800 has tripled or quadrupled since then. So that's for teen homelessness. For food insecurity, so food insecurity is they do not know where their next meal is coming from. This is 9% of all people in Idaho. So that's almost 10% of people, which equates to about 150,000 Idahoans is how they describe it. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Experience food insecurity, 10%. One out of every 10 people that you may run into and bump into may be food insecure, not know where their next meal is coming from. So that's a lot, right? That can be overwhelming. That can be, where do I even start? And so here's some helpful things that I have worked through in my own life and have brought from this passage. And so the first thing, if you're writing notes, awesome, lovely. If you're not, just try to pay attention the best you can, is to divinize, not demonize. Divinize, not demonize. Incorporating caring for others helps get us out of dangerous cynicism. You drive by a homeless encampment and get disgusted by the garbage strewn about everywhere, stolen bicycle. You find out about a homeless guy who's done some incredibly awful things. The news and other media does not help this situation because they're just looking for bad news to share. And so they'll post anything negative they can about these kinds of people. But Jesus, the Son of God, reminds us to divinize and not demonize people who are in need. As you did it to them, you did unto me. It is a reflection of what we can do for the Son of God by helping these people. And so we see these people not as homeless or hungry. It is important to recognize their state, absolutely. But they are image bearers of the Son of God, just like you and me. Because Jesus said, as you have done for the least of these, you have done for these. A friend of mine taught me when to say, when I encountered situations like these, is to say, Jesus, is this you again? Jesus, is you again trying to teach me something, either about myself or about the world that you have brought me into? Did you see Jesus come into our worship service this morning? Or as you're out on the streets, or as you're driving to your next meal at Taco Bell or Wendy's. I don't know, people in Boise, what's the popular thing here? In Deer Park, we had McDonald's and Taco Bell. That was it. But, side note, this is for free. Our Taco Bell was the top 100 in the nation, so no big deal. that was for free. But when you're on your way to get a meal, did you see Jesus? Helps them remind me of their dignity. Compassion is not someone elevated, reaching down to the disenfranchised to feel better. It's not about feeling good about myself. It is reaching across to an equal. Because another stat is most people, a large percentage of people, are one emergency away from being homeless. You don't have to answer, but if you were having to pay $20,000 tomorrow, how many of you guys would be able to cover that? Yeah, me neither. Don't worry. I'm not like, that's not like a, hey, suckers. That's me too. Compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It is a relationship between equals. Only when we know our own darkness well, can we present with the darkness of others? Compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity. It is to divinize, not demonize. Another thing that this passage reminds me of, this is a spiritual practice. How many of you guys are taking part in Lent, doing like a Lenten practice? Awesome. My Lent practice this year was to get a normal sleep schedule. You might be like, oh, of course. But I broke my leg in September, and what that meant was there was a lot of time spent on a couch, because when you break your leg, you don't get to do a whole lot. Not that I was moving fast regardless, but it went from slow to none, right? It went from like 1 mile an hour to zero for many, many, many months. And I just had to wait. And what waiting meant was a TV was brought in front of me, and I tried Netflix for a bit, and then Netflix got boring after 2 weeks when that's all you had to do. Luckily, I had a lot of my church come and visit me, which I was very thankful for. But because of, you know, being on a couch, you mess up your sleep schedule. So I was going to bed pretty late, sleeping in pretty long. So I wanted to recorrect that, because getting back into ministry meant doing things pretty early in the morning. And I was not doing well by going to bed at 1 a.m. and getting up at 7 a.m. to go into my life. You cannot function like that. I know a lot of you guys are doing that right now, and I'm praying for you as I leave from here. But try your best not to keep going with that. But caring for marginalized people can be a spiritual practice. Jesus said, as you have done to these people, you have also done to me. Helping others spiritually connects us to Jesus, to the Son of God. It is as important in my mind as worship or prayer. It lifts you. One of the best ways to rise above a gloomy mood is to do something for somebody else. It is being about helping you advance on your spiritual journey so you can make a positive difference in your community. This is where God has called you, students. This is where God has called you to bring heaven to earth. Not just in your classes, which is an amazing and wonderful time, but God is calling you to care for the homeless, the hungry, those who need clothes. And doing so brings you closer to Jesus. You grow close to Christ. You become more and more like Jesus. My final thing, as we close in our time together, is you can't do everything, You just can't. I don't know how many of us in this room would be able to solve hunger for 150,000 people. But what I am, you can't do everything, but you can do something. You can do one thing. You can do another thing after that one thing. God is not calling you to run the marathon immediately. He's asking you to take a step in the right direction. Whether that means starting to care for these poor and marginalized people for the very first time. Whether it means finding out what ministries are around that care for these in need. A story in my life that reflects this is when I was in your guys' shoes in college. Is anyone here from Oregon, Portland? Woo! Woo! Yeah, I went to school there. That's where I went to college, Northwest College of the Bible. And while I was there, I pumped gas because that's a job there. And I loved it. People that smack talk it, I will actually come fight you because it was a lovely experience. It was just so relaxing. I mean, people looked at me like I was some sort of super genius when I just lifted their tank and put in regular, and even more so when I put diesel in a diesel car. Do not do the opposite or put anything else in a diesel car or else boom. But I would work roughly 30 to 40 hours every week pumping gas, and it was coming up on both my weekend for work and my weekend for college, and I was ready, right? And probably like how a lot of you guys are, ready to check out, ready to just relax. Maybe you got some snacks or some amazing things waiting for you on the other side of your break, just like I was. I was ready, right? I had my favorite drink, which is Dr. Pepper. I had some Doritos. I had my computer ready to play some games with some my friends for the next 48 hours. I was ready. But when I went to go on my break, I noticed I had a missed call from the pastor I was interning under, Dave Adams. So I was like, oh, that's important to always call back your pastor when you have a missed call from them. Could be very important, and it was. So on my break, I call back Dave. I'm like, hey, Dave, what's up? And he's like, hey, Greg, would you be able to do something for me? And I was like, depends what it is, you know? I mean, I'm willing to do most things. What do you got for me? And Dave says, we found this guy sleeping on the side of our church this morning when we were meeting for men's group. And he doesn't have a place to stay right now. And I know you have some space with you and your roommate. Me and my roommate in college were renting a house at the time, and we did indeed have an extra room. And he said, can you have him stay with you? I'll cover any food costs because I know you're not making a whole lot of money pumping gas. And he's correct, I wasn't. Minimum wage, woo! So he's like, I'll cover any food costs or anything else, like, so don't worry about that, but can you just have him stay with you? I was like, sure, why not? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? And his name, come to find out, was Steve, Steve and I got to know him, and something incredible that I learned through this, because I was unknown before, Steve had a job. He worked. He did, I don't know if you guys have this in Boise, but people that flip signs for, do you have Liberty Tax here? Yeah, so he was one of those guys in the little get-up and would flip signs. And he did it really well, honestly. He did an awesome job when I would see him after that. But Steve, as much as I thought I was going to be changing his life, he changed mine. Steve was incredibly helpful. He did whatever he could to help out. He cleaned up my dishes when I didn't even ask him to. He would do laundry. He would make his own food. He did whatever he could to not be a burden. And I thought, man, I'm supposed to be here helping you, and you're doing all you can to help me. Why is that? The best I could offer him was a ride to his work. And that didn't feel like the spiritually changing experience that I was trying to give him. He just said, Greg, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for a warm place for a few nights. I'm grateful for your guys' hospitality. Because most people, when they see me sleeping, they call the cops. They throw me in jail. But you know about me. And if I were being honest, I don't know where Steve is in this moment. What I do know is through the one thing that I tried to do, I am now forever changed. Because now when I see those people, I know there's a name. I know there's a story. And I know there's a need far beyond what I can fill. But hopefully I can bring them to the one that can. Can't do everything, but try to do something. And that's what I'm going to leave you with, Boise. Thank you again so much. I think the worship band has one more song. No, just me. Okay, all right. Then I will pray for us. Jesus, we are grateful. We are also burdened with this call to help those in need. And the greatest thing that I can ask for us right now is take us in the right direction, Jesus. Have your Spirit lead us to whatever opportunities you can find for us. Because this world needs you. And while we are not able to solve everything overnight, we can at least try to solve one problem at a time. Help us learn stories of people made in your image. Help us to recognize them as equals, as people deserving of your love. And thank you so much for giving us the ultimate example of service and opportunity through giving up your life, giving us the ultimate opportunity to live in newness and not in shame, to ultimately point others to you. I pray for these students' spring break and how awesome and wonderful of an experience that will be to be able to relax and not have to worry about tests and quizzes and studying and all that good stuff that is so good, but it's difficult sometimes. So thankful for breaks. And I just pray that it would go well for everyone, that they would be able to come back renewed and ready to carry on your kingdom work. I pray this all in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.